excuse for any of us because God has provided for us. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yeah, it's been an amazing week. Excuse the nasally voice, but it's funny. Kerry called on Wednesday and she said how bad she felt and talking to Lek. And she said, every muscle's aching and my body's like feels like it's falling apart and all, you know, just completely under an attack. And she said, oh, you know, I can't move my jaw. If I bend over, my jaw hurts and all my teeth ache. And I'm like, what is this? I'm thinking about it and I'm going, Lord, this is just an attack of the enemy. And, of course, we prayed. And she gets up the next day and she says, oh, I'm fighting fit now. You know, absolutely, you know, totally different, changed. Well, rather than sit there wondering what it was like, yesterday I had the exact same. I felt like every muscle in my body wanted to just fall off in a big heap. And, you know, I felt like I couldn't do anything. I was totally inept and incompetent. I was trying to put things together and do things and it was just not working. Every time I sort of leaned over, picked something up, my whole jaw ached and my teeth felt like they wanted to fall out. Exactly the same symptoms as Kerry. And I'm like, this is nuts. So I've been preaching over the last few weeks on holding firm on the things you've learned, lest at any time you let them slip. And I'm like, God, this is just not right. What's going on here? And I got a bit of a corrective thought. What have you let slip? And I went, oh my goodness. Right, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm standing fast on your word. I come against every pain, against every affliction. I come against every feeling of weakness. I speak to my body in the name of Jesus and resist the works of the devil. I know that he comes to steal, kill, and to destroy, but you've come to give me life. And I started going through a whole realm of what I needed to speak over myself. And last night, I said to Lek, I said, I just feel like I need to get in a hot bath. And I did, and it wasn't the hot bath that did it, because prior to that, I already felt like everything was lifting. So I don't know about you, pardon me, but quite often, I think we just accept things. Oh, there's a flu going around, or there's a cold going around, or there's something going around. And we don't turn around and say no in Jesus' name. And I was guilty of that, definitely. Instead of coming against it before it even happened, the first symptoms, many times in the past I've had a sniffle or a cold and I go, not my body in Jesus' name. And I've never ever succumbed to it. What I did this time was nothing. And of course, what happens when you do nothing? Things start to take over. So I don't know about you, but anybody get up this morning and feel like they needed to have a good fight? No? Has anyone sort of got that, I need a good fight today. I need to get out there and lay into something. And really, as the people of God, there's nothing wrong with that. If we're an army and if we're a people of God that he calls, we really do need to recognize we're in a battle. We're in a warfare, and if we ignore that, and if we go on and speak negativity and speak things that this world is saying, we're actually succumbing to the circumstances around us. And so, having had to correct myself and bring myself back into line with what I've been teaching, the hold fast, like Paul said to Timothy in one section, he said, hang on to everything you've learned. And then later on in Hebrews, we need to hold on to the former things lest at any time we let them slip. We've been given so much of God's word. I think sometimes we become complacent. We get a little bit blasé about things. And like Fritz said around communion, we've got to really get into the word of God. We've got to have it there in readiness. We've got to know that word. We've got to be able to call on that word at any given time. And it's interesting that if we just sort of cruise along and forget about things and not bother to stand and stand firm, we get overtaken. But I'd rather be overtaken by God. Much rather. And so we've got to remember where we're at and what God's done in our lives to be able to do and walk in the things. So we've got to get ready for a good fight. And the other thing we've got to remember is if we're going to have a fight, well, who are we fighting, number one? So we've got to target the enemy that we're fighting against. We're not fighting against our husbands and wives. We're not fighting against our children. We're not fighting against our neighbours. We're not fighting the boss at work. There are differences sometimes and there are niggles that we've got to get over and get through. But they're not our enemy. They're not who we're fighting. We've got to recognise the source of who we need to fight. Number one. Number two, are we fighting? What are we fighting for? So we've got to recognise what the battle is about. And then we've got to recognise also what on whose behalf are we fighting for? Many cases, it's on our own behalf. We really do have to recognise that we're being attacked constantly. The enemy's out to barrage us. And we've got to be prepared to fight back. So that's fighting on our behalf. But sometimes we're fighting on behalf of others. And I don't mean, coming against what people are saying, but if there's an attack on my neighbour and my neighbour's going through a real trauma in his life, do I recognise that and do I come in before the throne of grace on behalf of my neighbour? Do I recognise that I need to get up and stand in the gap? That I need to be an intercessory force and stop the powers of darkness influencing my neighbour, influencing my family, trying to destroy my marriage, trying to wreck my home? I've got to recognise, number one, that there is an enemy out there that is wanting to destroy everything that we represent and that shows godliness. People don't like that stupid prophecy, you're going to go home and divorce your wife. I would have hit him. I would have got forgiveness later, but I would have hit him. I nearly did that once in a church in a prayer line. I'm out there and this guy went really hard, tried to push me over. I thought, you do that again, I'm going to knock you out. And he walked away. He must have known something. I was just like, I was standing there just receiving from God. I wasn't going to go down on the ground like some clown just writhing. No, I wanted to receive. The Bible says, having done all, stand, and having done all, stand. And this guy was pushing everyone over, and they're all going bang, 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 bang. And I'm standing there saying, thank you, Lord. I just receive in Jesus' name. And this big hand tried to push me over. And I just went, oh. And I was bigger than him anyway. And he said, don't resist the power of God. And he tried to push me again. I thought, you do that again, mate, I'm going to knock you out. I had my fist clenched. So I was ready to let the flesh control me. But it was just, you got to recognize I wasn't fighting him. He wasn't the enemy. He wasn't the one I needed to fight. There was other situations and circumstances at play there. And really, it was... Even though I was in church and in a prayer line, I felt that there was a distraction trying to stop people receiving from God. I was convinced of that. And I've seen that so many times where people have been prayed for and they've gone down on the floor and they've laid there and they get up and I've talked to them afterwards. I said, well, what happened? Oh, I just went blank. And I'm going, why would you just go blank and lay there? Oh, I just felt peace. And I'm, okay, that's feeling peace. But did God do anything at that time to change your circumstances that you went out for prayer for? And they were not changed. You met them a week later and they're same old, same old, same old. And I said to the Lord one day, I said, God, this is bothering me. I've seen people touched by your power and they're transformed and changed. And there's others that aren't. What's going on? And he said, well, quite often the devil gets in the way and knocks them out before I get a chance to deal with them. And I was staggered. I was blown away. And I thought, wow. Derek Prince was in a service one day. And there was all sorts of events happening. And there were people over here, you know, falling over and laughing. And people over here doing certain things. And people somewhere else. And he stood there and he looked into the spirit realm. He said there were three manifestations across that congregation. The flesh was manifesting in some people. They were just being frivolous and stupid and doing whatever to think it was a good thing to do. He said the Spirit of God was working without a shadow of a doubt in some people, but there was demonic activity working in others. And he said there was nobody in position of leadership on that church to discern what was going on. And if we don't recognize things, we don't know what we've got to fight. It is important to have a spirit of discernment to say, God, or if you're not sure, put it into prayer. God, where is the target here? What do I need to fight? What do I need to stand against? What do I need to come against? And there are things that the Bible gives us a lot of clues and insights. Romans, casting down imaginations. There's a lot of spiritual imaginations going on in the world today. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, that's happening right out through the world. The news media, the internet, everything is a high thing that is exalting itself against the knowledge of God. And yet we're allowing that stuff to permeate our minds and we look at it and we get caught up in it and I'm like, ah! That Bible tells us to pull down, cast down imaginations and cast down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now it's interesting, imaginations and high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God will usually make us start thinking about them. Notice the train of events, that the way that this has been put in the scriptures. High things, imaginations, and you start meditating on it, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And if we're not doing that, we'll let our minds run away with things. We haven't got our helmet of salvation on, protecting our mind. We're not guarding our hearts with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Because what you feed into your mind ends up down in your spirit. And your spirit man is going, can I feed on this? And no, we leave him starved because we've got all this junk going in there. And we can't afford to feed ourselves junk food in our spirit, man, because it's a part of us that needs to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Totally. Didn't intend to say all that, but I had to. So fighting a good fight. Understand firstly and foremostly from Ephesians chapter 5. It says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's one of the first things of recognizing where our enemy is or isn't. We're not fighting flesh and blood. So if there's a situation arises between people, or between you and your neighbor, or between something and someone else, or a family, recognize that the source of the warfare is not with them. There is a demonic power. There is a spiritual power. There is a greater force somewhere trying to upset the apple cart to take you off your perch of peace and comfort and joy in the Holy Ghost. Because the minute you start to get a little anxious or antagonized or stressed out, do you feel like going, there's joy, there's... No. You want to hit someone. You've got to recognize. You've got to take hold of these things and cast them down and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So we're not fighting flesh and blood. So the minute there's an antagonistic situation coming up between people, stop. Don't take it out on the person. Don't take it out on the wife, husband, relative, whatever it may be, the kid. come before the presence of God and say, Father, in Jesus' name, I speak your peace into this situation. I cancel the assignment of the enemy trying to disrupt this family's life or this business life or this whatever it may be, this life with my neighbor. I bind the power of darkness there in the name of Jesus, and I cancel that assignment. And in the name of Jesus, I invite your peace that passes all understanding to keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Whoa. There's a battle won. There's a battle won. Isn't that amazing? So we've recognized the source. It's not flesh and blood. Then there's also the battle for our spiritual well-being. And Paul encouraged Timothy. And he told him, and he told Timothy a lot of good advice. You want some good advice about living a Christian life and going on in God? Look what Paul taught Timothy and Titus. And he said, fight the good fight of faith. That's an interesting way of putting it. Faith is usually something that we have as a belief system in the unseen, believing that it is more true than the reality of what we're standing in today. What we see, what we can't see, is far more real than what we can. You've got to understand that. So we've got to keep looking beyond the normal, natural things that we can see and understand in our physical flesh, and beyond that is the reality of the spirit realm. Fight the good fight of faith. Stand firm in faith, realizing and recognizing that what's beyond this world is far more real than this world. These things will pass away. You're sitting on a chair in faith, believing that chair was made to hold your body weight. If you didn't, you wouldn't sit on it. Whoa, you know, you'd be a bit cautious. But no, you've got enough faith in a manufacturer to sit on that chair. But you see that in the natural, and you've been told that a chair is to sit on, so you sit on it and you believe what's been told to you. But that chair will not be here in 100 years. It'll have perished, it'll have worn out, it'll have gone, could have rusted, broken, whatever. And that's not reality. That chair is temporary. Reality is the things of the Spirit. Reality is the things that are beyond this world. Reality is where God is. Reality is out there in the light of the glorious kingdom of God. Woo-hoo. Oh, I'm getting excited. That is the most amazing part about recognizing faith. Faith is the substance. Faith makes real. Faith makes solid. Faith makes permanent the things hoped for, the things that are not seen. How many people only have faith in things that are seen? That's true, isn't it? They have more faith in what they can handle and touch and taste and smell and get hold of than what's beyond here. But faith in the godly sense, fight the good fight of faith, is seeing beyond the reality of this world into the real reality of the spirit realm. That's where things are. We've got to get hold of that. And that's recognizing that there is a realm that is far more real than the one we're living in. And that is part and parcel of the area of battle. It's like when, who was it praying? Was it Samuel when the angel came down, or that was delayed? Daniel, it was Daniel. And he said, look, I was sent to give you an answer however many days ago, but I got withheld by the prince of Persia. And he restrained me and I had a battle on my way. But Daniel kept praying. And the answer came through. And you know, there's a warfare going on there. Even if God sent an angel back in that time to answer Daniel's prayer, there was still opposition. Thank God, through the blood of the Lamb, we've got greater power than Daniel had. He didn't have what we've got. He didn't have the name of Jesus. He didn't have the overcoming rights of the blood of the Lamb. He was walking under an older covenant. We have a new covenant, a greater covenant, a better covenant, a more sure covenant. Get hold of it. That's what we stand on for our battle. That's our battle platform. And that's where we need to understand and take hold of it. Even Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:7, when he was talking about his own life, he said, I have fought the good fight of faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Do you notice that he's saying that? I have finished my course. I tell you what, could we say that? Could I say that? Ask yourself, could I say that? I have fought a good fight of faith. I'm ready to go. He said in one stage, his point, he said, my time of my departure is at hand. And he said, I've fought all the way through. I've upheld the faith. I have upheld everything that I have seen in reality in the realm of the Spirit. And there's a reward for me. I've finished the course. I'm ready to get out of here. I've done the job properly. Man, I wish I had that confidence to be able to say that. That I've done it all right. That I've done it properly. That at the end I can turn around and say, God, I'm coming home and I've done the job you wanted me to do fully, completely. And I've kept my end of the bargain. Wow. That's a pretty bold statement, isn't it? Very bold. But we've got to recognize we're in a warfare. In Revelation 3:20, I love this scripture. We used to sing it. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple. Where did we get that first song from today? Goodness me, we went back into the archives of yesteryear. I remember Brad as about an 8-year or 10-year-old drummer playing that in the Church of Christ. And he used to bash those drums. He loved that song. And he would have it all going really, you know. Shine, Jesus, shine. It was one of the stalwart songs of the 80s and 90s. Goodness me. I'm sitting there picturing Brad playing his drums. That's all I could think about. Him that overcometh, to him that overcometh will I make to be a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God. Wow. So there is an overcoming facet that gives us the capacity to be stronger in the temple. You remember when Samson was being paraded after he'd been in jail, his eyes plucked out. He says, just take me to the temple, to the two main pillars, that I may feel them, you know. I'm a good boy. And Samuel gets there and he absolutely just broke those pillars apart because his strength had returned. They forgot to keep cutting his hair. And the strength and the covenant that he walked with in God had been restored. And he took out that whole, more people died in that event than before. But the pillars were the main support mechanism of the temple. Isn't that amazing? Daniel took it out. We've got an enemy that's trying to take it out as well in today's age. Think about that. We've got an attack on the church across the world everywhere. You can't cough and look sideways without some stupid news reporter writing a letter and writing an article about you if you're a high-profile preacher. Now, maybe they have been unwise in what they've done and some of the things they've done. Are we praying for them? Are we turning around and pointing the finger, or are we praying and interceding? If a brother be overtaken with a fault, the Bible says, you who are spiritual, restore. Well, we can't be there to restore physically, but we can get in and intercede on their behalf. I see people that I have a lot of time for and that I love deeply, that have been an influence in my life, going through hell at the moment. Now sure, there's been situations that have caused that, but they didn't recognize it at the time. They didn't realize the enemy's there trying to destroy them. And the pitfalls and everything they fell into has created all these dramas they're into now. And I'm saying, God, you call that man. And the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. God's not sorry he called him. Think about that. I would love to see restoration fully in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. They'll be made a pillar in the temple and they will go no more out. God writes his name on us and the name of the city on us. I love that. And you'll find more about that in Revelation. But we need to be overcomers to be strong and support mechanisms in the kingdom of God and in the temple of God. Revelation chapter 12 is interesting. And here's a warfare here that people have found themselves engaged in with the powers of darkness or with Satan himself. And it says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. There are two amazing capacities revealed here. Two incredibly good items, two effective weapons, and one attitude of confidence. They overcame him by weapon one, the blood of the Lamb, by weapon two, the word of their testimony, the attitude of confidence. Even if I die fighting, I'll keep fighting. They love not their lives unto death. Think about Meshach, Yorshach, and Abednego. Meshadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if you want to put it in the King James Version. They're out there and they come up against the king. And the king says, I told you guys, and gives them a riot. You know, they're brought before the king's court. And he says, well, this is how they put it. Be it known unto you, O king, that we will not bow the knee to your gods. We will not serve them. And what did they say? Our God is able to deliver us. Bold and brazen. But if not, who cares? But if not, we're still not going to bow the knee to your idol. We're still not going to succumb to your crazy rules. We're going to trust God anyway. Well, of course, he gets enraged and turns the fire up seven times hotter. And all of the soldiers that threw Meshach, Yorshach, and Abednego into burn ended up getting burnt, and they get in there. And the king rises up to go and have a look at these guys, and in shock, horror, sees them walking in the midst of the flames, unhurt, unbound, and the Son of God. Whoo-hoo! Oh, man! Remember a song I used to love singing years ago? They wouldn't bend, they held unto the will of God, so we are told they wouldn't bow. They wouldn't bow their knees to the idol made of stone. They wouldn't burn, they were protected by the fourth man in the fire. They wouldn't bend, they wouldn't bow, they wouldn't burn. Isn't that incredible? You know? And really, if you look at that, their confidence in God was so amazing. We will not compromise. We will not compromise. And our God's well able to deliver us. But even if he doesn't, who cares? We'll go down fighting. They overcame him in the New Testament by the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb, that what we were cleansed with, what we were provided salvation through. Our God is able to deliver us, and the word of their testimony. Be it known unto you, O King, we will not bow the knee. But even if God doesn't deliver us, they love not their lives unto death. You know, there's a similar parallel there between the two. I'm wondering if we're in that same capacity of tenaciousness where we have those two weapons that overcomes the powers of darkness. You know, even in the Old Covenant, when they took the blood of the Passover lamb and put on the lintels and doorposts, they were fully protected from the onslaught of the enemy. that came in over Egypt. Here they were in suburb Goshen, just a suburb, just one area of that part of Egypt, and everything else gets wasted, plastered, and all sorts of things happen, frogs and whatever they got, and the firstborn die. And here's the suburb of Goshen, completely untouched, unhurt, unaffected because of the blood of the Lamb. And you know, there are times we need to use the blood as a weapon. We need to. I cover my family, Lord God, with the blood of the Lord Jesus. I cover their minds. I cover them completely. I cover their home. And I cover them for every, to protect them from every attack of the enemy. In Jesus' name. My kids are going a bit astray, Lord God. They're not walking with you. But Father, I take your blood and I ask your blood protect them and you keep them. That your mercy hover over them until they find salvation in the name of Jesus. Why not? Why not? That's a weapon. Do it. Do it. Be serious about it. Get into the mode, the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. I'm a child of God. I didn't bring my kids into this world to be instruments and tools of the devil. I brought them into this world to serve God. I come against the powers of darkness that have influenced their lives in the name of Jesus. I bind the effect of the enemy in my son, daughter's life or my whatever. And I take authority over his influence in the name of Jesus. I command that their minds begin to swing back to the gospel that they heard in their early days. Whoa. Start to be a bit more tenacious. Nothing wrong with that. Lord, I've spoken to my neighbor about your word. He hasn't responded yet. But I come against the powers of darkness that are influencing his mind and his thinking that are stopping him from making a commitment and going on with you. I'm praying like this for my neighbors at the moment. They've come to church a couple of times. But they've still got a religious mindset. They're the mindsets I'm breaking down in the name of Jesus. They're the things I'm tearing down. And I'm bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Then the word gets sown into their life. I'm saying now the word is sown, Lord God. I have sown. Someone may water, but you give the increase in the name of Jesus. Why not? Why not? It's important to be tenacious in our warfare. Have you woken up today to a good fight? If not, are you ready for a good fight now? I don't know. Yeah, we've got to get into it. We've got to begin to start to be the people of God the way we should be. You know, the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony ties in with the word I brought out a couple of weeks ago, or was last week, sozo or sozo. As it is in the Greek, our salvation. And it's so amazing that that means to heal, to preserve, to rescue, to deliver, and to protect. Salvation was provided by God for those reasons. In the whole aspect of it, we don't just take salvation to be saved from our sins. The whole concept of what God was doing at the cross with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was to save, heal, deliver, protect, set us apart, and prepare us for his kingdom. It's all-encompassing. The other word, soteria in the Greek, to deliver, to provide health and salvation, to save, and to ongoing have saving grace. Wow. And this is just New Testament words in the Greek. If you go into Psalms and look how many times David uses, or the psalmist uses, the word salvation, the Hebrew words are equivalent to the Greek words. They're very strong. They're amazing. It's there for us. Ephesians, we're going back to a little bit where it says, above all, put on the whole armor of God, the sword of the Spirit. Above all, take the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. These are battle. These are weapons. These are weapons for battle. These are defense mechanisms to be a fighter. But if we're not guarded and protected in those areas, we're leaving vital components of our being exposed. But at the end of it, the last verse is incredible. It says, praying always. Have you ever read that? I remember talking to my father-in-law, Diane's dad. I said, what's the whole armor of God? And he went through it, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, you know, your loins girt, gospel of peace, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith and the sword of the spirit. I said, and? And he went, what? I said, there's one missing. And he went, what have I missed? I said, nothing. I said, the next verse says, I'm praying always. Part of the armor. How often's always? How often is always? I think it's an instant in and out of season scenario. Every time there's a need, every time God reminds you or the Spirit of God brings a need back into your capacity or your memory. Father, I stand again in the name of Jesus. We've still got to stand until we see the full fruition of what we're praying for. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In the Spirit, it says. You know, I don't think we need to be verbally vocal, but there's times when we can just be meditating in our hearts before God and saying, God, I'm so tenaciously still standing. There's no way I'm letting this situation beat me or beat that person and their lives be taken away from your kingdom. In Jesus' name, I'm standing. I'm standing. And we just got to be tenacious about that sort of thing. Praying always and having a constant open line of communication with God. I don't know if you like that. But sometimes we can get so caught up in what's going on that we forget about we're meant to be in communication with God far more. Far, far more than we are. We can have a thought about something and say, Father, I love that thought. Thank you so much for reminding me of that. It can be just something that was good for us. It can be a situation we need to pray about. Be tenacious enough to do it on the spot and instantly. Take it for what it is when it's ready. Oh, I've got so much more, but I'm going to finish off with this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 26, and I didn't put this up there, Mash, sorry. But Paul said, we fight not as one that beats the air. Now, I've said this before, but sometimes we've got to say it again to get people into it. But you've seen boxers doing their practicing. And they hit nothing. They're just going through the motions. And so Paul said, we are to fight not as one that beats the air. We're not just going through the motions. We're not going through a rehearsal punch or a rehearsal jolt. We're just get a target. Get a purpose. Find out where you've got to do the most damage against the enemy, the powers of darkness, or in the situation, and hit it with all your might. A lot of Christians go through the motions. Yeah, I'm fighting for God. And they never land a punch anywhere. What's the point? We've got to be tenacious enough to land them. Put the word where it needs to have the most effect in people's lives. Stand against the powers of darkness solidly, knowing your authority in the Lord Jesus, knowing that the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony was what causes the end time scenario to come down. And where God gives people the capacity to overcome the powers of darkness and the powers of Satan. And they overcome. They overcame him. Woo-hoo! By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Is the blood of the Lamb on your life? You've been cleansed, washed and saved through the precious blood of Jesus? Then you've got every right to stand in the authority of that name. And stand strong. I'm a child of God. And in Jesus' name, I'm not allowing this situation to take control or to influence any longer. Be serious. get up tomorrow ready for a fight. Areas in our life that we're struggling with, areas in our workplace, wherever it may be that we haven't learned to overcome yet, get tenacious enough to start a fight. All right, Father, in Jesus' name, that's been hanging around my life long enough. I'm going to take authority over that now, and I bind its influence in the name of Jesus. And every time the thought comes back, no, I've bound that in the name of Jesus. I cast that down and I bring into captivity every thought, the obedience of Christ. You got to be consistent. I'm not promising it's going to happen in 5 seconds, 5 minutes, or 5 years. It'll depend on how tenacious we are and how much we stand in Jesus' name. Some people get an answer one day and then drop their guard the next. Not good. We've got to have our guard up constantly. Above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith we can quench every onslaught and every fiery dart. And if we haven't got that standing up there, that's not fighting the good fight of faith. Hang on a minute, where's my shield? Hang on, Satan, don't shoot any more darts. I'm fighting my shield. You can't do that. You've got to have that fight the good fight of faith shield there constantly to ensure that you can quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. And he knows when you're at a point of perhaps almost falling, and he'll barrage you even more. So you've got to have your shield in the greatest position of defense that you can have it. No way in Jesus' name. No, that's it's rather funny. I remember saying that in Bible college in 74 when I was in Bible college. I got up one day and something went on, I said, no way in Jesus' name. Well, this other guy down there cracked up laughing. And he goes, no way, no way, what do you mean, no way? I said, no way will I allow the devil to take any control or any further ground in that part of my life or the church life or any. No way, no way. And I've stuck with that for so many times in my life. No way, Satan. No way will I allow you to continue working like you've been working in this area or in that area, or especially when the kids were young and we had them all at home. We stood strong in faith for them, and the things that God did, protecting them and preserving them and looking after them. Why? You know, I remember coming home one day. Lek was supposed to have been home at 3:30, picking the kids up and coming home. I got home about 5 o'clock and there's no sign of them. The first thought that came into my mind was a lie of the devil. They've been in an accident and they're all injured and hurt. I said, no way in Jesus' name. That's not the covenant my kids walk in. That's not the covenant we walk in. They're preserved, protected by the blood of the Lamb, and I will not allow that thought to permeate my mind in Jesus' name. Took authority over the thought straight away. What happened to the thought? The confidence in God. You know, you've got to be strong in the Lord, the power of His might, not our own. Father, I thank you for the capacity you've given us to stand in the name of Jesus, to be strong in the way that you've provided for us through the blood of the Lamb and through the power of your word. And I pray, Lord God, for a tenacious spirit to come upon us all, that we will stand strong, that we will not allow the enemy to play games with our lives any longer. We will not allow the enemy to taunt our lives, that we will not allow the enemy to destroy our families. And in the name of Jesus, we will stand at every point strong, firm, and not budging in Jesus' name. That we will cause the powers of darkness to flee. We will resist the devil, and he will flee from us. Although he come at us in one way, he will flee in seven. Because we're standing strong and taking the fight to where it should really be, landing the blows necessary that your word has provided for us to land in Jesus' name. I ask for it and pray it over our lives and over our minds, over our hearts, that resilience and strength would be imparted today in Jesus' name. Amen.